What's up, world? Welcome to the Positive Truth, uplifting and positive news for a more progressive society.
Here at the Positive Truth, we're trying to bring awareness, empowerment, inspiration, optimism, understanding to communities everywhere.
Where can they find us at, Tim?
They can find us on Facebook at the Positive Truth Podcast, on Twitter at TPT_podcast, iTunes, YouTube, Google Play, and SoundCloud.
Loving it.
Tú sabes.
In case you're new to the Positive Truth, we are a positive, uplifting podcast. We do positive news and uplifting news on Monday and Wednesdays. And on Fridays, we do a video podcast that we record that you can check out on YouTube. And we talk about topics and how we can change them for the better. Today's topic, I was a little trepidatious about, just to tell the truth.
Big words, guys.
Give me a ding. We're doing the opiate problem in America and the medical marijuana potential solution. Oh boy.
Oh boy.
But before we get to that, we will make sure everyone goes to our, you know, podcast page, iTunes, leave us a positive review. It'll push us up and make more positive news for everyone around us. Tim, you ready to get into this?
Let's get into it, man.
You want to start? You want me to start?
Let's start with, you go ahead and start. Let's get into it.
Okay. We're talking about medical marijuana. We're talking about it because America has an opiate issue. A massive opiate issue. The abuse and addictions of opiates such as heroin, morphine, and prescription painkillers is a serious global problem that affects health, social, and economic welfare of basically everybody.
Indeed.
It is estimated that between 26 million and 36 million people abuse opiates worldwide, and 2.1 million people in the United States are suffering from substance use disorders related to prescription pain pills. And that basically 500,000 people are addicted to heroin, just in America. The great availability of opiates and prescription drugs has been accompanied by alarming increases in negative consequences related to their abuse. So the opiates deaths, like deaths, have increased basically 600% since 2000, and heroin deaths have increased 300%. It's basically the crack of our generation.
It is. It really is.
I have this thing where, you know, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do anything, I guess, cool in most people's eyes our age. But I have this thing, anytime I see someone that's going out, I say, don't drink and drive, wear protection. And after doing this research, I'm going to start saying, don't touch prescription pain pills.
Oh, man, I agree. I tell my mom all the time, what are you doing this for? What are you taking this for?
Well, she's taking it because it's estimated that more than 100 million people in America suffer from chronic pain in this country. And some sort of opiate therapy might be appropriate. That's 1 in 3 people, Tim. That's a massive number. There's a fact of 1 in 3 households you see have some sort of student loan debt. 1 in 3 people you see have some sort of massive chronic pain. So if you're not feeling any chronic pain, consider yourself lucky in the grand scheme of America.
It's wild to even think about.
And that's why there's so many people have, like, these addictions, these pain pills, because so many people need the pain pills. The most persistent American patients, they need relief from moderate to severe non-cancer pain, have back pain, which is 40 million people in America have constant back pain, or osteoporosis or arthritis, which is 20 million people. Because prescription opiates are similar to, or basically affect the brain the exact same way as morphine or heroin, they're pretty much addictive, like, instantly, if you're not careful. If you use them with other drugs, like if you use different methods to take them, such as like crushing pills or snorting or injecting them or combining them with other drugs, it's one of the most addictive things you can do. AKA, never touch pills.
Man.
Tim, I don't want to sign it with you, man.
No, I'm silent for now.
So we have 100 million people in America that have chronic pain. We have a massive prescription pain pill problem. a lot of people get addicted to them. So how do we treat this chronic pain, Tim?
Medical marijuana.
That is one of the possible solutions. Do you want to cover the difference between social use and medical use?
For sure. First off, we're talking about medical marijuana. We're talking about using it for medical purposes. We are not talking about using it because you're at a party and you're a social smoker, or you're using it to watch a movie or whatever the case may be. So just to make that clear for everybody that's listening, we're not here at The Positive Truth supporting social smoking. We're talking about the use for medical marijuana. So let's clear that up.
Let's also clear up that medical marijuana is only legal in 27 states.
27, and it's growing, for sure, for sure. And it's gonna continue to grow, but it's not legal in Oklahoma, so you kids out there, stay away.
Let's talk about the negatives of social use of marijuana. Let's just say it's illegal.
Oh, yeah.
If you get caught with this in a place where it's illegal, that's gonna be on your record. It's not going to help anything in your life. Court isn't cheap. Going to jail isn't fun.
It's very true. I mean, I would not know, but hey, I'm pretty positive that it's not a good place to be.
Also, we should state, contrary to popular belief, marijuana is definitely addictive.
It definitely. Psychologically, it is addictive. Your body's not going to go nuts if you don't have any weed, you know, if you're not getting your high, but definitely psychologically, your mind can trick you into thinking that you need it more than what you really do. So, yeah, it's not affecting your body where you're about to break into somebody's house so you can get high, but at the exact same time, it could affect you, your mood, your behavior, because you want to get high. So believe that, trust me, we did our research.
On top of that, like, you hear like marijuana is not illegal, but then like you hear same people like, well, everything's better when you get high. Like, let's just sub that. Like, if I say, Tim, everything's better with a drink or two, everything's better when I take a pain pill, everything's better if I just have like all kinds of sugar, everything's better, like, that all sounds addictive, right?
It does, most definitely. I mean, there's so many studies out there with marijuana that I can answer that with like so many different questions.
Keep on, go Tim. You're talking.
Well, like, I'm gonna start off asking you this. How many people die a year from opiates?
Oh, I got it. In 2016, heroin deaths killed more than 20,000 Americans.
20,000 Americans in what year?
2016.
Marijuana killed?
Zero.
Exactly. And that's kind of the counter argument there. And that's why I think medical marijuana is definitely the answer to get away from opiate addictions. Did you know that pharmaceutical companies spent over $880 million the last 10 years trying to prevent marijuana to become legalized?
What?
Exactly.
10 years they spent how much money?
Over $880 million.
I got something even crazier for you. You wanna know how much money they made last year, the opiate industry?
How much?
Oh, just guess. You know, they spent $880 million.
So you know it's in the billions.
Yeah. That's that reasoning coming out, so I like it.
I'm gonna go off and just say a couple bills.
No, way higher. $10 billion last year. That's how much money it is.
So $880 million wasn't anything to them.
Oh, it's 10%.
Yeah, 10%. Here goes 10% to stop this so we can keep making our money.
You know how much money the national market was for marijuana last year?
How much?
Oh, just guess.
I can't, man. I can't.
That's the fun of it. Guess with the audience. They're guessing right now, Tim.
750 mil.
Oh, wow. Way under, buddy. 7 billion.
Ah.
In 27 states. So a lot of people are already using medical marijuana.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely taking advantage of the opportunity to have medical marijuana. I mean, by taking medical marijuana, you get rid of the physical addiction that you get from opiates. What causes you to shake, what causes you to get sick if you do not get those pills. Marijuana takes care of that. Matter of fact, whenever you get nauseous, marijuana takes care of that. I mean, there's certain strands out there for almost any kind of pain, whether it's arthritis or anything. Like, marijuana can almost take care of that type of pain. And yeah, now smoking it is where a big health question comes in. Smoking's bad for you. Well, yes, it is. But there has been studies that show that smoking marijuana has actually improved lung strength by inhaling the drug, obviously. Everybody thinks that the smoke is going to destroy your lungs, which it completely does, 100%. But certain ways to use smoke marijuana, like out of a vaporizer, doesn't do as much damage to your lungs, and it also increases your lungs' capacity, which I thought was pretty awesome, especially as a runner. Like, thinking about that, would I really want to smoke weed and run? Probably not, but in all reality, people that are worried about your lungs as much, they're doing more and more studies to prove that it may not affect you as much as you think it does.
Speaking of studies, I'm not quite there yet, but January 12th, 2017, there's a report that came out that we're going to link where to?
On the Facebook page.
In the description, too.
Oh, in the description. My bad. I was like, what's going on here?
So it took 100,000 marijuana studies, and it talked about the health effects and the benefits and the detriments. Right. I'm not there yet. Because you were talking about different strains, right?
Different strains, yes. You have different strains for glaucoma, different strains for just anything that's going on. After chemo therapies, doctors are offering marijuana to help with the nausea, so people that are taking chemo can eat again versus, I can't eat, I'm too nauseous, and how weak it makes them feel. I mean, there's different type of strains for different things. It's not just a social drug.
Well, on top of that, the marijuana potency is just, It's not exactly what our parents had available.
Very true.
In the early 1990s, the average THC content in cannabis samples ranged from 3.7% to 7.5%. 2013, it ranged from 9.6% to 16%.
Which means it's way stronger.
Also, there are different, like, we're just talking about medical marijuana that you smoke. There are different kinds of marijuana. There's like smoking it, eating it with TH-rich, like with the oils, the plants, the dabbing. Like what the kids are doing, that dance that we started as a marijuana thing.
Oh, yeah.
Just in case you didn't know, all the parents out there. And the average like marijuana extract contains over 50% THC. And some samples exceed 80%. And we have no idea how these... Like, there's no studies on the consequences of the body and the brain with that high a concentration. So when we're talking about medical marijuana, we're talking about the 10 to 16%, not the super, super strong stuff. We have no idea. Also, on the social aspect, people who begin using marijuana before the ages of 18 are 4 to 7 times more likely to develop a marijuana use disorder than adults. So, once again, talking about medical marijuana. I just want to restate that.
So now that they got that, JP, what are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about the benefits. I feel like, Tim, you've already been listening to them. Just keep on going.
I have, man. Look,
actually, just start over, just to make sure they understand.
I'm going to start over. Look, there's at least 2 active chemicals in marijuana that researchers think have medical applications, which is CBD and THC. CBD seems to impact the brain without a high, and THC has pain-relieving properties, which arthritis comes in and stuff like that. You have those just 2 chemicals, which they're finding others as it goes, but those are the 2 main chemicals in marijuana that has medical purposes. So from there, it can be used to treat glaucoma, which we've known this for a while, but plenty of people are using it for glaucoma right now. Again, like I said, it helps improve lung health depending on how you use it. Once again, it's not just rolling it in a joint paper or a blunt. I mean, there's other ways you can use it. They have teas and foods that you can make it and eat it now, and it's so much simpler and healthier to use. What were you going to say, JP?
I was just going to say, like, while you're talking about the benefits, I got the report pulled up. I got all the benefits and the negative effects. And one of the negative effects is marijuana has substantial evidence linking long-term marijuana use to chronic bronchitis. So with the lung effect,
chronic
bronchitis.
Depending on how you use it, for sure. I mean, you got to think about it. The study was, I don't know when the study was, but if you look at today's day and age,
this is all of them. This is 100,000 studies.
100,000 yep. studies. And I'm telling you, they didn't have vaporizers the way they have them now. They have them now. The way they have edibles, the way that they have these dispensaries that have candies, teas, coffee, soda, marijuana water. I mean, they have things that aren't affecting your lungs.
You're scaring all the parents out there.
I mean, it's a game changer. Everything's changed. parents need to be aware of what's going on out there. There's so many different ways for kids to get high off of marijuana other than just smoking it. Your kid could literally eat a piece of candy right in front of you, and it could be 10 milligrams of marijuana and be fine, and you won't even know they were high at all because it was just in a piece of candy. That's how these dispensaries are, though. There's so many different types of ways to use it. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, because there are plenty of people out there that need medical help, and instead of getting addicted to opiates that are killing them, that studies show widely people are dying and getting addicted to opiates. People cannot live without them. People have to go to rehab because of opiates versus marijuana that we were told it's bad for us, but nobody dies from it.
Literally no one.
Exactly. I mean, yes, you do have side effects. There are some negatives to marijuana, just like there are negatives to opiates. But why take something that is causing people to get addicted, go to rehab, turn on their families and loved ones versus a drug that doesn't kill you, doesn't make you physically addicted? What's going on there? Like, why are we choosing one thing and not the other? And I mean, that's exactly why we're having this episode.
Because companies need to make money, they need to make their $10 billion.
Exactly.
They don't want to lose out on that $10 billion.
You're 100%.
That's a lot of money to lose, man.
You're 100% right, and that's exactly why people are taking opiates. People aren't aware that, hey, this drug is actually going to kill me versus help me.
Or maybe they're not living in a state where it's available yet.
No, that's very true.
Or maybe they don't know how addictive pain pills are and the benefits of marijuana.
And this is why we're here. But we can keep going on.
Benefits?
Yeah, we keep going on the benefits. I mean, there's studies that show it can help with seizures. There's more studies that are continuing. There's studies that shows a chemical in marijuana found that helps stop cancer from spreading. It's not proven, but there's studies that show that CBD may help prevent cancer from spreading. There's also studies that it decreases anxiety, which plenty of studies that show that it does reduce anxiety. THC also slows the progression of Alzheimer's disease. Drug eases pains of multiple sclerosis. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on, and people are taking opiates to fix these problems instead of taking something that's natural, that came from the ground, that obviously other states and people know it's healthy for you. Marijuana wasn't even illegal until 1930. People have been using marijuana since back in the...
Are we talking about like hemp?
We're talking about hemp, we're talking about marijuana, we're talking... They used to sell it over the
counter. I eat hemp seeds every single day, man. I get the hemp seed, the flax seed, the chia seeds. Good protein and fiber.
Really?
Yeah.
Hemp seed has protein and fiber?
Yeah, man.
Nice little fun fact from JP there. I had no idea. Well, I mean, like, again, marijuana, there's a huge list of what people have studied on, and there aren't as many studies for marijuana as what people think, though. There's only about 6% of studies are for medical purpose for marijuana, and it's continuing to grow, especially now that 27 states have approved it for medical purposes. People need to be more aware of what it's actually doing to them, to themselves, because a lot of people that are fighting against marijuana, one, have never smoked marijuana, two, are just going off of word of mouth of what other people have said. They don't know what are the medical benefits. And then three, four, whatever number I'm on right now, people look at marijuana and they want to tie it into only black people smoke marijuana, only white people are on meth, only Mexicans are doing cocaine, and that's not the truth. There's plenty of people out there doing all these different types of drugs, and marijuana affects everybody. Could affect everybody differently. Some people could let that mental addiction kick up and just let marijuana take over their lives where they don't want to improve anymore. But there's also...
Did you talk about marijuana helping veterans suffering with...
PTSD? I did not, but you're exactly right. That's another huge benefit. Matter of fact, my brother, he has PTSD. He's in Arizona. Medical marijuana just passed in Arizona, and as soon as it gets approved, he's going to get his card for his PTSD, because I know his PTSD is bad.
Did you talk about, like, seizures?
I think I went over seizures, for sure.
Okay. Can you talk about possibly treating mental illness and addictions?
I did not.
So that's what I got on my whole 100,000 studies. But if this one, it says it's CBD, the one you talked
CBD.
About, has been possible... treating mental illness and addictions, and it helps better with the veterans and the THC, which...
Have you ever watched Viceland?
Tim, you know.
Keep asking these questions.
My cultural knowledge is like.
Well, I mean, they did a. There's this marijuana ranch type of thing. It's not medically proven, or was it medically cleared or anything? But well, they basically bring people in that are addicted to drugs. This guy was addicted to meth. And he's done everything, went to rehab and all kind of stuff. And he was like, I have nothing else to try. So they were giving him high doses of THC, talking about like 200 milligrams and stuff, where it was just way too high. And this guy was still kind of freaking out. But the bonus was, it was two guys that came in at the same time. This guy's tried everything. At the end of the show, marijuana was the only thing that not, he went for 3 months. They did 3 months afterwards where he didn't mess with the meth at all for 3 months. And before that, he's never gone more than 2 weeks in the last like 3 years.
What happened
3 years.
3 months?
No, they just, the last 3 months he hasn't touched any meth. And then the other guy that they showed that was there with him relapsed after, I think, 2 weeks or something. And it was pretty bad. The study didn't show necessarily if it proved to help, but it did show that a guy that's done so much as in rehab and taken all these other pills, that marijuana did help him, which I thought was pretty cool because he was addicted.
Did you talk about muscle spasms?
I did not talk about muscle spasms. I was actually going to get there, though, but you go ahead, JP.
So I like that, Tim. I got a lot of things. I'm trying to cover on the positive things anything you didn't cover. I got one. I got something you're gonna like. I got on these medical studies that does marijuana cause cancer? All these reports found little to no evidence linking marijuana's use to any number of cancers, including a number of cancers often associated with cigarette smoking. In the case of lung, head, and neck cancers, there's like basically no evidence between marijuana use and cancers whatsoever. I mean, the only thing that's like mild is like testicular cancer if you're a guy, but that's another positive.
That's exactly why marijuana kills zero people a year. Because all that stuff that people tell you, it causes cancer, it causes this, it really doesn't. I mean, people are out there actually doing studies. You just have to do your research, just like we did, to find out if it's true or not.
What if, like, me personally, I think vomiting is like, it's the worst experience ever. It hurts so bad, it's coming out of here. Ugh. Well, basically for chemo patients, marijuana is effective in stopping the nausea and the vomiting. So, that's pretty cool. There are some downsides though. So, we should definitely talk about the downsides. One of them was long-term marijuana use leads to chronic bronchitis. A lot of people say like you can get high and drive.
No.
Not true. Driving while stoned is like a strong link to increased risk of motor vehicle accidents. It's not as high as alcohol. But that doesn't mean it's a good thing. It's kind of like if you just work 16 straight hours, you shouldn't be driving a car.
Exactly.
Same thing with marijuana use. It has cognitive effects. Like there's evidence that it impairs your learning, memory, and attention span for a short while afterwards. But for long-term users, there is no medical evidence suggesting that it impairs your learning, memory, and attention span for over a long period if you stop. So basically while you're high, you're slightly an idiot. But it helps if you do have a pain problem, would you rather be slightly smarter and on your couch because you can't move because you have such chronic back pain, or would you rather smoke and be able to move around and be just a little bit more impaired?
I mean, I'd rather move around.
Exactly.
I mean, in all reality, I'd rather move around for sure. I'm not about to sit down and just be in pain. And whenever he means you're slightly an idiot, he doesn't mean you don't know anything that's going on. It does affect your short-term memory a little bit. So yeah, you may forget where you put your cell phone, even though it might be right next to you, is what he's talking about. So yeah, you're gonna have side effects, just like you do with any other type of medicine that you do take.
But we're talking about medical marijuana.
Exactly.
Like socially, like, this isn't a good thing, but medically, like if you need it to make your life function, that's a much better option than being in chronic pain or being addicted to a pain pill. Like having a little bit of short-term memory loss or like, hey, this TV show, I can't stand it, I need to change the channel because I can't get through the commercials, is a lot better than being in chronic pain. There is very clear evidence between heavy marijuana use over a long period of time and developing schizophrenic symptoms. There's also moderate evidence that like links marijuana use with increased depression and social anxiety disorders. And the most concerning thing of all the downsides of medical marijuana is it's linked, especially if you're using it socially, to increased risk of suicide. So this is why we're talking about medical marijuana, because if you're in constant pain, there's not going to be any social or suicide thoughts, because you're going to be so much feeling so much better, that's not going to happen.
Exactly.
But if you're using it socially, if you're addicted to the drug, you're on vacation, you take 2 hours of your time to go find you some weed so you can enjoy vacation. Whenever you don't have it, it's going to lead to increased social anxiety, it's going to lead to increased depression and suicide. But medically, none of this is going to happen, because it's going to be curing your ailments.
And you're taking it responsibly.
Absolutely.
And I understand that marijuana by itself is becoming legal socially in certain states, and it's going to continue to grow socially in certain states. Seven states so far. I mean, it's growing. And whenever it does become legal everywhere, wherever you guys are listening.
Ooh, big statement, Tim. What are you saying that's going to happen?
I think it is. I mean, it's inevitable.
We're not supposed to give opinions, man.
Definitely not. You're right. Let me go ahead and just finish this statement real quick. Make sure you guys are smoking it responsibly, whether it's medically or socially. If it's not legal where you're at, don't smoke it, because it's illegal. Here at The Positive Truth, we believe in the law a little bit, so follow it. So follow it, but use it responsibly, especially medically. There hasn't been another time that I can think of in history where we have an opportunity to find a cheaper way to take care of ourselves, instead of letting these pharmaceutical companies that are making $10 billion a year, is that how much they made earlier, you said?
I mean, it's only $10 billion, man.
No, only $10 billion a year. You know, let's not keep allowing them to make $10 billion a year off of our health.
Because we got to be careful with that, man. Because if a doctor prescribes it to you, we're not doctors.
That's true.
But if you are in one of these 27 states, you should definitely discuss it if it's just a pain pill.
For sure. Talk to your doctor about it. And if your doctor isn't for it, find another opinion, just to find out both sides of the story. Find out which one's going to be better for you, and decide for yourself, ultimately.
I got another potential downside.
I mean, I got more upsides. We can keep going then.
Okay. Keep going, Tim. Keep going.
Well, I got one. Marijuana is actually good for your metabolism. Medical marijuana actually helps break down sugars in your body a lot better than...
But on my research, that says that's only if you're like you have cancer, you're chronically sick.
Well, this study analyzed data from more than 4,500 adult Americans, 579 of whom were current marijuana smokers, meaning they had smoked pot, you know, in the last 30 days.
Okay.
About 2,000 of them had used marijuana in the past, while another 2,000 had never used the drug. They studied their body's response to eating sugars, their levels of hormone, insulin, and their blood sugar levels while they hadn't eaten in 9 hours and after eating sugar. Not only were pot users skinnier, but their body has a healthier response to sugars.
Sugars are one of those things that they have like almost no benefit in your body if they're artificial though, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you definitely don't want to, no matter what. Like, we need to eliminate artificial sugar, period. But
That's a podcast
topic. But the issue is, I mean, there's sugar everywhere. Like, we just had so much candy a minute ago. It's ridiculous.
We gotta fight the cold.
But yeah, marijuana does help break down sugar. It also improves the symptoms of lupus, which is an autoimmune disorder. What other marijuanas we have? Even though this isn't, you know, a health benefit, I guess. I mean, marijuana helps spark creativity. There's a lot of people that are in pain.
With some people,
with some people, for sure. I guess if you are in pain, if you are in one of those states where you do use medical marijuana, I want to ask you guys this question, so if you guys can answer, you know, on our social media page or even through email. I want to know, do you feel more creative while using medical marijuana versus without using it? Do you feel more creative? Do you feel more inspired to do something a little bit more artsy? Paint, draw, write a poem, a story, something? I would like to know that, so please hit us up on our social media pages or email.
What defines artsy?
Music, drawing, painting, want to be
dancing,
you know,
making
anything. Beats, I don't care. Okay. I just want to know.
I'm just here to figure out the little bitty details. You got any more positives?
It helps soothe tremors for people with Parkinson's disease. We talked about PTSD already. Marijuana protects the brain after a stroke. Did you know that one?
Not on here.
Take that.
Take that, opium.
I mean, here's a big one. This is actually a huge for NFL players. They've been talking about for a while, which we all know what CTE is by now. I mean, it's after so many concussions, it's just a brain disease that starts taking over. Marijuana might protect the brain from concussions and trauma. They're doing studies now. Nothing's, you know, proven yet, but they are in the process of doing studies. And right now, marijuana looks like it helps protect the brain after concussions. So I think that's pretty awesome.
We need to give it to Steven Adams.
And he's hurt again, isn't he?
Well, by the time this comes out, hopefully he doesn't have another concussion. But right now, while we're recording, he has a concussion.
Yeah. I mean, well, get better, Steven Adams.
We need you, Kiwi.
For sure, for sure. Marijuana also can eliminate nightmares, depending on who takes it and how you take it. Once again, too, there's certain strains that could possibly give you nightmares.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's just, But here, like again, you brought it up for chemo. Weed reduces some of the awful pain and nausea from chemo, and it stimulates an appetite for chemo patients that can't eat, get too nauseous, they wanna throw up. Marijuana settles your stomach, makes you feel a little bit more relaxed about yourself versus in pain. And if you know anybody that's been through chemo, you know that's not something easy. And I've definitely been around people that have been through chemo, and I've also been around while they smoke marijuana illegally because they were in that much pain so they can eat. And I noticed it does help. And that's from somebody that is in a state that marijuana is not legal for medical purposes. So, I mean, I think that it's awesome that we've taken the step forward to get to medical marijuana legalized in at least 27 states right now. And hopefully, you know, I hope anyways, here at The Positive Truth, with just the facts that we have here today, it continues to grow and more states catch on, medically at least.
Absolutely. I think you're gonna like this, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you think marijuana causes people to go on harder drugs?
No, I do not.
The literature shows that basically the only thing it like increases is tobacco.
That makes sense.
Since people are smoking.
See, but I think smoking is gonna be taboo pretty soon. I really do.
No opinions, Tim.
Ah, man, here at The Positive Truth, no opinions, only facts.
We're trying to be unlike the other news outlets.
You were right.
What they did find was if you use marijuana and then move on to like a different harder drug, like alcohol or heroin, you're more likely to get addicted. So that's a downside. I think the summary of this podcast is opiates are extremely addictive. We don't even know if the prescription ones, if you use them properly, for some people, they can still become addictive for. And then there's a massive amount of people they're using, they're crushing them, getting high, using them with alcohol, killing themselves, getting addicted to them, needing Xanax, needing Oxycontin, just to like function.
It's too big of a risk.
And they're basically one out of every three Americans is in pain, chronic pain. And instead of taking that risk, you can have medical marijuana. So that is, it's just an option, something we're presenting. Again, this is your topic, Tim.
This definitely was my topic. For those that want to know, this was my topic.
I didn't want to touch this, but I'm glad we did because I learned a lot. I will say, at a current job I have, like, I might have peer pressured some people to be like, you know, you should probably not smoke. And they're telling me like, the smoking helps, I'm in chronic pain. I'm like, maybe because you smoke, you're in chronic pain. After reading all this, I'm like, oh, yeah, keep smoking. So I would like to apologize to all of them. Either way, we need to work as a country to make sure less people are in pain in America. Hopefully medical marijuana is just a little bit of a bridge until we find a problem, until we find a solution where we can have all these people not be in pain anymore.
Exactly. And if you support medical marijuana, and if you use medical marijuana, make sure you're using it responsibly. Make sure your 14, 15 year old kid or nephew or little cousin or neighbor that comes over can't get a hold of it, because at the end of the day, kids shouldn't be smoking marijuana. Unless, you know, it's for seizures or any other medical purposes like that. But besides that, teenage kids are definitely likely to get a hold of some marijuana if they can. So be responsible about it and take care of yourselves.
And we're talking about medical marijuana, not social marijuana. It's also illegal in a lot of states. Only 27 states have it medically. There are a lot of benefits. Like we could do like 20 minutes on post-traumatic stress and marijuana.
Man,
There are a lot of veterans. And anything to help with post-traumatic stress is just amazing, especially when they're serving our country and helping us out. So we could do 20 minutes on that. We could do 20 minutes on like chemo. There's a lot of benefits to it. Just we're talking about it medically, not socially.
We try to cover as many positive and negative points so you guys can make up your own minds. So again, listen to the podcast. Make your own opinion off of it. Use the facts that were placed in front of you and make a decision. It's yours.
Absolutely. Hopefully you're not in pain. Hopefully you've learned how addictive opiates can be. So don't drink and drive. Always use protection. Stay away from any kind of pills.
Tú sabes.
My new life lesson to anyone that goes out, I'm telling them those three things.
Stay away from pills.
Those are three things that are easily preventable and they can be disastrous in your life. Get an STD, drink and drive and kill someone, get addicted to pain pills, or use alcohol and pain pills to kill yourself.
It's too much.
We got a lot of kids that are listening to this podcast, like high school, I shouldn't say kids, I would say like people in college or in high school, like don't do those three things. Understand that socially, like marijuana is illegal in a lot of states and it is addictive. This is just another option.
It's a safer option. That's a fact.
That is a fact, Joe. We have determined that. You got a positive quote?
Man, I don't. I should have got like a Cheech and Chong quote or something like that.
we'll stall and I'll think of something again.
All right. Let's make sure you guys are following us on Facebook at The Positive Truth Podcast, on Twitter at TPT_podcast, iTunes, YouTube, Google Play, and SoundCloud.
Let us know what topics you want us to talk about. Check us out on Monday, Wednesday when we do all uplifting and positive news to fight the negativity and the hate that's going on in this world. For a positive quote, don't stop imagining. The day that you do, the day that you die.
Stay positive, my friends.